Today on Real Life Radio.
Getting back to the gospel that is truly the very source that affects the mind and brings people to a relationship with God and the family of God. And the warning today, I think, is necessary is that we need to stop trying to be in the Christian world today novel or unique. Jesus, my friend, is not a fleeting whim or a passing fad.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Any Day Now, Part 1, continues a series called Combat Faith, a study in 2 Peter. It's been decades since Peter walked the earth with Jesus, but his passion to impart vital yet practical wisdom to the church has never faltered. His hard-hitting final warning to all believers may be his last will and testament, but for us, it couldn't come at a better time. The great and awesome future events of the Bible are forming right before our eyes. We are the generation of believers that will not only recognize Scripture at work in the world, but will apply it to our lives. When we stop and look around, our faith tells us that the world isn't falling apart, rather everything is falling into place. So on this part of today's message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that we need to be constantly reminded to get back to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Repetition, it's a strong teacher. When we stop trying to be novel or unique, but choose to stay in the Lord's will, we'll have the kind of peace that simply comes from knowing Christ as our personal Savior. And now in his message called Any Day Now, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
I'd like to get a little analyzer on you. Why are you up? Why are you up? And have a little computer monitoring your emotional reaction, your heart rate. Every time, and I know this is true because I've watched the stock market, every time Fauci comes on the screen, people go, oh no, what's he going to say now? And the stock market, why? Because there is a connection. Why? I'm not trying to be funny right now. I'm actually telling you something that's very important. Bad news, we're all going to die. It's all over. There's no hope. Sets a groove in you. It etches. And when you call up from your memory, be careful what you're viewing and listening to. It's going to go in the well. It's going to come up. What's in there is going to come up. Remember the old computer thing? Garbage in, garbage out. I mean, I hate to be gross, but you know, God is so good to me all the time. This happens all the time. Remember last week we talked about how a pig goes back to the mire and wallows and a dog returns to its own vomit. Remember how sickening that was? My dog hasn't thrown up in months until yesterday. My dog. And it's almost like she came up and she said, hey, remember last week's teaching? Yeah. Remember that? And as soon as she did that, I thought of 2 Peter chapter 2. No, I'm serious. There you go. But I intervened. Before that went any further, I redeemed the moment. But we're back in Philippians 3:1, though. Rejoice in the Lord, for me to write the same things to you is not tedious. Isn't that great? But for you, it's safe. Verse 2, beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilation. He's not talking about dogs. God loves dogs. The word dog is beware of Gentiles who are seeking to destroy you. Beware of evil workers, those that were trying to pillage the people. And then beware of the mutilation. This is one of the most graphic announcements to beware of legalists. You know, the word mutilation here is referring to the Jews who had not been saved yet. They were still bound in Judaism, but they tried to make their way into the church. And when they made their way into the church, listen, you're going to think I'm kidding, and I'm not. They would get you over to the side, and they would say, now, let me ask you, I know you're a Gentile, and I know that you were born in Milan, but if you're a real believer in Jesus, you need to be circumcised. And, you know, that guy was, the guy, he doesn't know this stuff. He's a pagan. He's a Gentile. He doesn't get it. See, I didn't know this was going to hurt. And they'd say, oh, no, it's really going to hurt. That's how it is following God. You got to listen, no pain, no gain, dude. Jesus saves, but you got to keep yourself saved. And this is how you do it. So come over here behind the curtain. We're going to cut you up. And the more we cut, the more righteous you are. Legalism's like that, isn't it? Legalism hates the grace of God. A warning for today in our age is getting back to the gospel that is truly the very source that affects the mind and brings people to a relationship with God and the family of God. And the warning today, I think, is necessary is that we need to stop trying to be in the Christian world today novel or unique. How cool can we be? How unique can we be? Jesus, my friend, is not a fleeting whim or a passing fad. His truth transforms. It always has and it always will. People think repeating things is boredom. Repeating things as Paul to the Philippians and as Peter does to us is a good thing for us. So I'm going to ask you to write these down. I'm going to repeat some things to you, and I need you to write them down. I pray you would. We need to constantly be reminded of these facts. Here's a fact. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Is that true or false?
True.
Here's a fact. Psalm 139:17-18. How precious also are your thoughts toward me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more than the number than the sand that is of the sea. When I awake, I'm still with you. Is that true or false?
True.
Absolutely true. Why are you so weak? You should be shouting this out. If you know it's true, you should let the world hear it. Listen, is this a fact? 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Is that true or false?
Yeah.
It's absolutely true. Here's a fact. Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. True or false?
Yes.
Absolutely true. Next fact. Matthew 11:28. Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. True or false?
True.
That is so true that every time Christ comes into someone's life, there's an alleviation. And it begins so many times. It doesn't have to go this way. But when I get to see people come forward and I'm watching their faces, it doesn't have to be this way. But many times people are emotionally moved to what? The emotionalism of the moment? Nope. Because they are sensing a connection with God that they can't explain. Something has happened. The Holy Spirit has reached down into the seat where they're at and he's gotten through the skin. Listen, he's gotten through the head. We can't even do that. We can tell our kids stuff forever and they'll never get it. Think about the miraculousness of God speaking to somebody who might be here and they're just, I didn't want to be here. They come in here. I'm only here because mom's promised me breakfast afterward. That's why I'm here. Whatever reason. You think God cares about the reason why you're here? He doesn't care. He's not stumbled by that one bit. And then the Holy Spirit begins to target you. And he begins to knock. And you begin to kind of get disheveled. You're kind of off your footing. And you're sitting there. You go, what's wrong with me? What's happening to me? That is God the Holy Spirit using the Word of God to break into the fortress of your soul. And he's speaking. And he wants to deliver. Which brings us to the fact that verse 2 says that it's a good day for you and I to be sure that you know the witness of God. Verse 2 goes on, and we'll end here at this point. It says, and of the words which were spoken before. Look, number one, by the holy prophets. Here the Bible is commenting on the Bible. Peter is saying, the Bible spoke to us before. Number one, it was by the holy prophets. Number two, and of the commandment of us. What does that mean, the commandment of us? Sounds like Peter's going to make up some rule. Nope. The commandment of us is the obedience to the prophets that were written. We are the apostles chosen by God to speak to you about the promises that have been written. And he goes on, that they are apostles of the Lord and Savior. So what does that mean? We have the witness of the prophets, the Old Testament prophets. I'm getting really ornery in my old age. I got to tell you, the prophets, if you criticize the Bible, if you think the Bible's a joke, have you studied the prophets? Because if you don't want anything to do with God, just say so. I don't want anything to do with them. But don't look horrible. Don't be a fool. And try to speak like you know something about the Bible. Oh, I don't believe in God. Because you know, the Bible's got all these mistakes in it. Really? Here you go. Find one and you'll become a billionaire with the book you write. Find one. Well, you know, you can't trust it. Show me where you can't. Attack it all you want. God's word anticipates that, by the way. So either dig in and find out about it so you know how to attack it, or be quiet and bow the knee and become a believer. Listen, be honest. The prophets have spoken. And the Bible tells us that none of their prophecies will fail. It's of divine origin. When he says that it's a commandment of us, the word is entole. It means that the New Testament ministry, it's what I said at the beginning, the New Testament ministry is to repeat what was written of old. One of the most powerful sermons you'll ever read in your life is recorded in the Bible. It's the 7th chapter of the book of Acts, Stephen. I think it's the longest sermon recorded in the Bible. I think. Certainly the New Testament. Stephen, who knows about Stephen? Hey, Stephen was one of the followers of Jesus, and he was a student of the apostles. And Stephen is full of the Holy Spirit, and Saul, who will later become Paul the Apostle, Saul has his guys arrest Stephen. And we've been to the place where Stephen was killed. It's on our tours. It's right at the base of Golgotha. He was stoned to death right there. I find that fascinating for a lot of reasons, but Peter's arrested, and they're telling him, you know what, you're going to die for your witness, for Jesus, for this faith of yours. Peter starts giving an Old Testament Bible study to them. You got to read it, the book of Acts, it'll blow your mind. And the Bible says that when he got done teaching them about what the prophets had said, that they began to gnash on their teeth, their own teeth. They began to gnash on their teeth inside their own head. Can you imagine grinding for anger? We hate this guy. And the Bible says they picked up stones to kill him. And when they began to throw stones at him, he said that he saw the glory of heaven opened. Listen, and he said there to them, I see the Son of God standing at the right hand of the Father. And his last words were, Father, do not lay this to their charge. Don't blame them for this. It's amazing. I love the fact, by the way, the Bible says everywhere after Jesus rose and ascended back to heaven, the Bible says that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God the Father. Did you know that? He sits. See, right here. Stephen said he's standing. Contradiction. No. Stephen was dying. Stephen was being martyred. Jesus stands up. Come here, Stephen. Come on, buddy. Come on. He stands to receive. I am fully convinced. I think I have a biblical foundation for this. You know, people who say, oh, I'm going to be swept away by the angels. and taken into his presence. Now you can have that all you want. Why have a B ticket? Okay. Look, if you do have an option to fly coach or first class, which one are you going to pick? You go first class. He said, I don't know if you should talk like that. Moses talked like that. Moses said, okay, we're going into the wilderness. Here we go. We're going to follow you, God. And God says, I'm going to send my angel with you. And you and Moses said to God, no way. No angel. He said to God, you go with me. We go with you. We ain't going at all. Isn't that great? I think God just smiled. God just had to go, Gabriel, did you hear that? That's awesome. And God says that to us. And I believe that at the moment of death, because look, he's with us in life now. Why would he, at the big critical moments, why would he hand the big deal over to some angel? No, remember, we read it earlier that when Jesus Christ comes for the church, and I hope it's today, it says he comes. Yes. Yeah, send my angel to pick you guys up. Don't want the angel. We want you. Stephen saw him standing up to receive him. And we're going to pray right now because we're out of time. I'm going to ask you today. I know it's first service. Everybody, the probability of somebody being unsaved at first service is very rare, very low. Who gets out of bed at 5:30 in the morning or whatever time you to go to church? But you never know. You could be here today, a very religious person. I'm going to ask the worship team, Brendan McPeak and his team to come out. I'm going to ask you guys to be praying. All of you are Christians. Raise your hand if you're a Christian. Okay, good. I need all of you to be praying right now that there might be somebody around you, around us, who maybe they've been trusting in their legalism. Maybe they think that they're a follower of Jesus, but they have kind of now been aroused or wakened, stirred to the realization, I don't know if I really ever thought about Jesus coming back and how much that should be important to me. I never even thought of that. My dear friend, that's a very critical thing. The Holy Spirit in you is longing for Christ to return. So here's what we're going to do. Without any fanfare, without any hype, I'm going to ask you, if you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that means that you recognize with us that you're a sinner. That you've sinned against God. You've lied. You've had a lustful thought. You cheated. Whatever it might be. Maybe you're proud and you think none of those things above apply to you. You're worse off than the other people. The Holy Spirit's speaking to you and he's saying, I want you today to join my family. I'm going to ask you and I'm not going to beg you. You just obey God. You get up and you come forward. You stand right here and we'll end this service as I will pray over you. So as we sing, God's speaking to your heart. Get up and come in Jesus' name. So this morning, if anybody's here, you're a believer, you're a Christian, and today's the day. Maybe the events of life, I don't know. Honestly, we don't care. It's not for us to know. But maybe you're a believer and you're coming back to Jesus. You're coming back to the fellowship of the saints of God, the family of God. And today's the day that you want to rededicate your life to Christ. You want to mark, as it were, your calendar down. Today's the day that I have come back to follow Christ to the end. Maybe today, it's rededication time for you. And also this, one more time, if there's anyone else that on the inside of you, you're the only one who either knows you're a Christian or you have pretended to be a Christian. You have hoped at times to be a Christian, but you want to remove the uncertainty. You want to be sure. Today's the great day to be sure. Christ could come any day now. And if inside of you right now, there's a warning light that's going off that you're not ready, then believer, to rededicate your life today is wise. And for anyone else today that would like to accept Christ in these last few moments, you come quickly and you come now and we'll pray. But any day now, Lord, may you even come today. We pray. So you come now, friend, you hurry and you come now. Heavenly Father, as we stand here today, we thank you, God, for the amazing roadmap you've given us in life, the Bible, this guide, this ever faithful expressed will of God. And Lord, we thank you that our world is not tied up in the actual black and white printing of paper and of ink. It's the eternal word of God that is free and living, hidden in our hearts. Your Bible tells us they may burn all the Bibles in the world, and yet your Bible, your truth, is never affected. And I thank you this morning that your eternal effect is upon your people today. And God, I pray that you'd overwhelm these that have publicly acknowledged you before heaven right now by coming forward and standing here. And Lord, we pray together upon them that you'd single them out and make them objects of your affection and they would know it. God, that you'd spoil them with your presence and your kindness. And Father, they're going to make their way back home to friends and family. And Lord, we pray that you would do such a work in their lives in these last days that their friends and family would see the transformation that is going on in their lives. Only you can do this. You've been doing it for thousands of years. I love the fact that we don't have to grease anything. We don't have to push anything. We don't have to manipulate anything. Lord, this is your word. These are your people. And you know what to do. Friends standing here right now, will you pray out loud? Will you just let this fall from your lips? Dear Lord, I come to you now in Jesus' name. I ask you to receive my life. Make it new as I bow my heart to proclaim Jesus Christ as my Lord and as my Savior. Thank you for dying on the cross for me and for rising from the dead. I receive you now as my Savior and of my King. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio in a message called Any Day Now, Part 1. So glad you joined us today. Any Day Now, Part 1. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called Combat Faith, A Study in 2 Peter. It's a series about the Apostle Peter whose life was transformed by the salvation of Jesus Christ and whose passion was to live out his faith as a messenger of the gospel. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Hey, just a reminder that Pastor Jack has a lot more to offer at his website. Just go to jackhibbs.com, and once you're there, you'll find devotions, sermons, more Bible studies, prophecy updates, and so much more. Combat faith requires a knowledge of the Word of God. The more you know, the less likely you are to fall for false Christianity. Peter warns us not to be ignorant in the things of God and dedicated his life in spreading the truth found in Jesus Christ and in the Word of God. Again, if your desire is to know God in a deeper way and you want to understand what it means to truly follow Christ, head on over to Pastor Jack's website. That's at jackhibbs.com. One more time, jackhibbs.com. Hey, are you intentional about what's going on around you? Peter himself often noticed what others would overlook. So much is changing in our culture, and we need to talk about it. Many of you already follow Pastor Jack on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. But did you know Pastor Jack has a podcast called Real Life Talk? Simply go to jackhibbs.com, click on that media tab. Once you're there, click on podcasts. Now you can stay informed through interviews with special guests who are leaders in their field, along with episodes that give a biblical perspective on social and cultural issues facing our country today. It's all right there at our website, jackhibbs.com, jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.